sacred rest look like? How can we embrace rest in this way that not only nourishes our body, but our soul, that gives us the energy to keep going and to do what we're called to do in a way that is truly replenishing, not just getting a pedicure or just taking a quick nap here and there, but the deep soul replenishment that we're all looking for. That is what we're talking about today on the podcast with my friend Deanna Mason, who is a rest consultant and somebody who I've known for a long time and watched walk on this journey. And Deanna and I have both have some pretty interesting experiences dealing with rest, how our changing our attitudes towards rest has really changed our lives. And so today I'm excited to share with you the things that have helped us and what we do when we get stuck in overfunctioning, because finding rest is something that we continue to have to do our entire lives. So I'm excited to share with you this conversation, and let's go ahead and get started with today's episode.
Welcome to the Vibrant Christian Living Podcast. I am your host, Alicia Michelle, Bible teacher and life coach, and I help Christian women like you rediscover joy and find balance through a renewed mind and a life-changing connection with Christ. Friend, I am so glad that you are here. So find a cozy spot and let's get started on today's episode.
Welcome back to the Vibrant Christian Living Podcast. I am your host, Alicia Michelle. I am a Christian mindset coach and a Bible teacher, and I am passionate about helping women find out how to overcome negative thoughts using brain and biblically based tools, and also how to help women cultivate that godly confidence that's found in growing in a relationship with Christ. So today, as we're talking about that issue, we're talking specifically about how we can grow in Christ, how we can overcome negative thoughts by maintaining this sense of balance in our life that's not just telling ourselves we need to rest, but really learning about how to develop a restful lifestyle, finding rest, finding Sabbath in the middle of the crazy, and how to identify when we find ourselves in places where we're truly overfunctioning, how to know when it's too much that we've taken on. And one of the conversations, or one of the parts of this conversation that I love about with this one with Deanna, is that she shares, look, I am an overfunctioner. This is how God made me. And I've learned that I don't have to try to change that about me, but I need to learn the signals of when it's becoming unhealthy. And I need to be able to be committed enough to myself and to the Lord to say, I can't do this anymore. And I need to shift and to change. So I hope that you enjoyed this conversation. I really enjoyed having this discussion with Deanna, because again, as I've shared with you about my friend Deanna, she is somebody who not only helps other entrepreneurs and other women find true rest and build this into their lifestyle, but she's somebody like me who has seen the good and the bad of being somebody who is driven and a hard worker and can get a lot of stuff done. We are people who have struggled with being able to embrace rest and what that really means. So join me now in this conversation with my friend Deanna Mason from Refreshed Moms on how to find sacred rest. Welcome everyone to another episode of the Vibrant Christian Living Podcast. I am so excited to have my friend Deanna Mason here today with me on the podcast. So welcome, Deanna.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here. Anytime I get a chance to talk with you,
I know. It's like you've been on here before, and I know we've been friends for a while. So it's awesome to just keep having conversations and how God keeps bringing our paths to cross. And so I know that you are passionate, and you definitely have had an experience in this area of rest and what it really means to find not just calm, not just nice spa days here and there, but to really live in a state, even in the midst of busyness, in the midst of being on mission for God, a state of rest, a state of letting God replenish you in every season. And so I'm glad that you're here today to share a little bit more about that. So as we start our conversation, can you share a little bit about you and your passion specifically in the area of rest to help women? And I know specifically women entrepreneurs.
Yeah. So I am a mom of two. I have two teenagers. I was going to say they're both asleep, but they're not. I think they're up now.
Yeah. And it's just to, so you guys listening know, it's almost what, 12 o'clock there?
It's yeah. It's summertime. Yes. Summertime teen summertime sleep behavior. So
exactly. What do
they do? Stay up all night and then they sleep until lunchtime. But so I have a 15-year-old son and a 13-year-old daughter. So I have big kids now. And We are now, again, a homeschooling family. I homeschooled for 9 years, put the children in school for three, and they're coming back home.
I didn't know that. Oh, awesome.
So so that's a new transition for us, transitioning back into a homeschool family lifestyle. And I also am a ministry leader, nonprofit organization, founder and leader, and I have a company that is basically my bread and butter in regards to my career financially, which is Refresh Moms. And with Refresh Moms, that company was inspired through my lack of ability to pursue the things that I felt like God was calling me into as a Christ follower, as a mom, as a woman. He has consistently called me to more than motherhood. Yeah. It's just been part of my journey. But what I didn't know how to do, especially the early stages of me balancing all of that, was how do I sustain a call that I believe God has put on my life without burning out? Something I just said this to someone this morning, and I saw this quote yesterday. I wish I can accredit somebody to it. I don't know where I saw it or who said it, but American culture expects moms to work as if they don't have kids, and for moms to parent as if they don't work. Right. And it's like, this is just a cultural expectation that we keep every single ball in the air and act like we're not juggling more than one ball. That's like the thing. Can you show up to work and act like you don't need to pump milk? Act like you don't need to leave by a certain time before the daycare closes? Can you be productive during the same hours as your men counterparts are productive? You know, these are things that we have had to assimilate to as women that challenge our ability to show up fully the way we've been created to show up in all of our areas and our roles. And so it's just not a sustainable lifestyle. Right. And it wasn't until I realized that it wasn't sustainable after I burned out trying to do all the things, homeschool, run a nonprofit organization, be an entrepreneur, you know, be a present wife, present mother, be present ministry wise with my local church. When I realized there's absolutely zero way to do this without burnout, the way that I'm doing it, obviously, you know, as like, I don't know how to hold it all. And so it took me rediscovering what it meant and felt like to be a mom who leads and how that translated into the work rest rhythm. And that's what my work focuses on with Refresh Moms, other moms that God is calling into other parts of leadership. He obviously doesn't wait for our children to be of a certain age when he calls us, right? So if he's going to call us, he's going to equip us. And our equipping doesn't come through human knowledge. It doesn't come through cultural standards. It comes through being a consistent communion with him.
Right.
And allowing him to show us what work and rest needs to look like for a woman who's a mother and a leader in order to be faithful to his call.
Yeah. And I think we mistakenly think that we can do all of this work that we're called to do, that's supernatural work, without the supernatural strength to do it. That's what was the biggest lie for me for a long time, is I just thought, well, I just keep pushing harder, keep pushing harder. And we ignore the fact that it's really draining. It's really hard. And we don't turn to God to let him fill us and show us. Like, sometimes I felt like I was given the life draft. God's like, I'm trying to help you, but you just keep running. And there's awesome scripture in Isaiah that talks about that. You know, you have to come to me so that I can give you the rest you need. You have to be willing to surrender. You have to be willing to say, I can't do the supernatural calling that you've given me as a human. And so that kind of leads into something I wanted to start a discussion about, which is, why do you think so many of us are apprehensive, fearful, afraid to step into that, because it's not like we need more lessons on you need to have more rest. You need to have more rest. It's like we've heard that, we know that, but clearly we're burning out, we're exhausted, we're getting sick, we're all of these things. And COVID showed us a lot of that dysfunction, but now we're starting to transition back into normal life. And there's this danger of, I'm just going to slip back into that again. So I feel like God is kind of knocking on the door again for a lot of us, like, what are we going to do about this? And so what would you say some of the deeper reasonings or fears that are there?
I think the biggest one is fear of man. I really do. Human, not just, you know, not male gender wise, but just feel of human feeling. There's a fear of how we're going to be seen if we don't fill in a blank. There's a feeling of rejection. If I am not available for fill in a blank, then you know, I will be rejected, or I'm going to disappoint someone, or the fear of not being seen as a good mother, not being seen as a good employee, whatever those things are. I think fear is the core for all of it. Fear of how we're going to be perceived, how we're going to be seen if we don't show up a certain way. And culturally speaking, I think we've been taught as women to show up a certain way. I think, you know, I think about how holiday seasons looked in the past for me and what was modeled before me, you know, who was in the kitchen doing all the cooking and all the preparation, who bought all the gifts for Christmas, who did all those things. You know, traditionally, it was the mother that carried all that. I watched my mom do it year after year after year after year. I've watched me and my sisters open gifts that my father didn't even know we got, right? You know, and it's like, it's like a surprise for me too.
Right.
We got that for you. Merry Christmas. And, you know, spending all of Thanksgiving in the kitchen while everybody else in the family, kids and males and guests, are in the other room playing games and watching TV and having fun, you know, and I'm sweating. I'm still in the same clothes from when, you know, I woke up that morning. You know, I haven't showered. Let's pray that I brush my teeth. And, you know, that becomes like the normal expectation. If I don't do this, then they can't enjoy Thanksgiving. If I don't do this, then they're going to be disappointed. And it's just realizing that first of all, it's a lie. It's an absolute lie. And being brave enough to go against, be countercultural in regards to what your leadership looks like. And I do believe that we are chipping away at normalizing being able to be a woman that has multiple roles and showing up as a woman in every single one of those roles. I think that's becoming a little bit more of at least a normal conversation. I do believe that there are companies and employers that are working to become more equitable in their practices towards their women employees. I do believe that's a thing, but it's still a mind shift that women and men have to. I was talking to someone who is a manager, and this particular company had just rolled out some new, not vacation plan, but like, you know, personal days benefits or something. I can't, something some about sort of, taking time off. And it was new and people had to opt into it or something. And they had a team member that just came back from maternity leave who was about to opt into whatever this leave plan was. And this person, the manager, was like, now why in the world would I grant them this leave? They just came back from maternity leave, right? And I challenged them and I said, they did not have a choice in this matter, right? They women are biologically the only ones that are going to birth these babies if families are to be had, right? That person has a partner or a spouse, right? That did not have to take do you understand why they took maternity leave? They took maternity leave to recover from birth.
So they weren't on a beach for like 8 weeks or
exactly.
And
so if, let's say both that person and their partner, the father of that child, worked in the same place and you guys roll out this this leave, and the father can opt in, but the mom cannot because she just took maternity leave to have a baby that only she could do. I said, these are not equitable mindsets, right? But these are the things that we're put up against, which causes us to be fearful to step up and get what we need. Because if that mom knows, well, my manager is not going to approve it because I just got off of maternity leave. What does that teach her? It teaches her not that it's not appropriate to.
Right.
That I'm going to be seen as less than my job. I'm going to be seen as a slacker.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that like the expectations, I think, is what the real issue is okay. Yeah. Somebody, my boss will see me like that, but what does it look like? What is the own expectations I've put on of what other people did? Like, I saw my mom doing this, or I see this other person doing it. Why can't I do it? What's wrong with me? And there's not this compassion side of understanding why we need to take that time. And it's not about pushing harder, right? It's not about just yelling at ourselves more. We'll just deal with it. It's that compassionate, quiet voice of God going, you need to stop. You need to break. You know, this is good for you. And we don't want to hear it because it might mean that there's something wrong with us, or is that dependency that it makes us aware of. And we don't necessarily want that dependency. So in terms of that dependency and how that relates to rest, what would you say in relation to that? And how does that even relate to the term that I know is from a book that you really love called Sacred Rest? How does that relate to the concept of sacred rest when we're in this dependence, in this time with God in terms of our rest?
Yeah, it makes me think of, I talk about over-functioning a lot.
Yeah,
I am a natural over-functioner. Okay,
so I know I am too.
Yes, you are.
Yes, I
know this about you. And I used to be critical of myself because of this tendency. And so I've recently, this year, have understood, you know, Deanna, you are 48 years old. You've always been this person. Mm-hmm. So this particular part of you is probably not going to change, right? So just understand that you are a natural overfunctioner. You have natural tendencies that put you in states of overcommitment often. Okay. So that part of that is aligned with my leadership. Part of that is aligned with how I show up and lead in my spaces. It's like the backside of the coin. All right.
Yeah.
I'm an awesome leader. I get tons of things done. I'm extremely productive. That's the benefit of this part of my innate makeup. But the backside is if you don't have things to counter that, you're going to burn out. That's the backside. So I am an overfunctioner. As like, I raise my hand as like, AA, my name is Deanna and I am an overfunctioner.
Yeah.
So what I have to do is once I understand and admit that, it now has to be submitted to the Father. Right? And part of the reason why I find myself in overfunction is because I have allowed myself to commit to things that He has not asked of me or required of me to do. That is like my definition of overfunction, doing more than what is required.
Yeah.
That's when we find ourselves in this state. And one of the ways that I combat this natural tendency is to do my best to continuously connect with God and ask Him, is this something You would have me to do? Or when I am in a state of overcommitment, which as of this day, July 17th, June 17th, that's the day we're recording it. I am in a state of overcommitment. It's like, I understand it. I know what it feels like when I'm there. And so what does this now look like to submit? It's like, hey, this is all that I got going on. What needs to get up off of this list?
Yeah. I love that you admit it. Sorry, go ahead. No, keep going.
Well, but it's that dance. It's like, what are you asking of me? I'm going to do that. And then when I find myself feeling like I'm doing too much, what have I crossed over into that needs to leave? And how do I back out of it? And so this is how I live my life. Now, maybe there's coming a day where I'm not doing this as often, but I already understand this about me. Okay, this is Deanna. I know what it feels like when I've gone too far. Mm. Father, help me back out of it. And then the flip side of it, help me, you know, stay connected to you to know what I should be saying yes to and should be saying no to. So that's like my life. That's my leadership life. I'm consistently, you know, on one of those sides of that coin.
Yeah. That's so important. I love that you said that you're not promising yourself or anyone else that you can just take, you know, do three things and you're going to be cured of this and you're going to walk away from it. Mm-hmm. That you're like, look, I've been dealing with this my whole life. This is part of my makeup. And I agree. That's part of my makeup too. And I don't think God wants us to get rid of it.
Right.
It's part of our makeup. It's how he designed us. It, like you said, it makes us really great leaders. It makes us get some serious stuff done when we need to. And that's important. Yet, like all sometimes good things have another side of it that we have to balance. And so it requires that dependence, that submission with God to know, what am I doing? And I think a question for me that you and I have had the same coach in the past and spoke to her yesterday, as a matter of fact. And she and I were talking about responsibility. Where does my responsibility end and God's begin? And finding that line in our heart and continually seeing what is mine to let go of, what is mine to pick up, because it's not that God wants me to not do anything. There is an activity in surrender and rest, but there is also an inactivity. And so I have to always ask myself, where am I in that spectrum? So what would you say to that in terms of like finding out where does our responsibility end and God's begin when it comes to what we're called to do?
Oh man, I think I have to answer this for my life, because I don't know if this is the answer for everyone's life, but for me, you know, I feel like I know what it feels like when I've come to the end of myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know what that feels like. I know what it feels like to understand there's absolutely nothing that I can do that's going to change this outcome or change the circumstance or contribute to a better outcome, or, you know, whatever those things are. There are things that are just beyond me.
Yes. Yes.
And when I understand the things that are beyond me, it's very clear that these are not things that I'm supposed to be carrying. Right. And I think about this when in regards to my children, that they bring me to the end of myself the most. If there's any relationship that brings me to the end of myself, is the one that I have with my kids. Yeah. Just absolutely realizing the sheer lack of control I have over these two wills that I've been responsible for. I cannot, and the older they get, the more evident it becomes how little control I have. Right. Mm-hmm. And knowing that when I get to that, everything beyond that feeling of the end of myself is now in the ocean of surrender.
Amen.
I gotta give it up. And sometimes I can even apply that when we're thinking about our over-functioning or high functioning or being overcommitted. It's like when I understand that there's absolutely nothing else that I can give, nothing else that I have in my tank or whatever those things are, but there's still all these things that need to get done, all these responsibilities that still need me. Look, I don't have anything else, so I've got to cross over to the ocean of surrender. Mm-hmm. This just happened. And this is a more practical understanding of this surrender. Mm-hmm. So I have been needing or been wanting to hire a cleaning service for like a very long time. When my children were younger, I had a cleaning service and it was like the best thing ever. And I don't even remember how I ended up not having it, but it's been years since I had one. Yeah. And I've been wanting one for a long time. And just not giving myself permission to do it. And there was no reason. no reason for this. And so I think I talked myself out of it because I got two big kids and I'm like, I live in 1300 square feet, maybe somewhere between 11 and 1300 square feet. I don't even know. I live in a small home. Mm-hmm. We got four big people in this house. Surely we can keep up with the chores.
We can work together and do this.
And so that was probably my main thing. And then the second one was just not wanting to come up off the budget money. And so I came home one Sunday and it was a beautiful Sunday. We had a wonderful time at church. It was just beautiful out. The weather was beautiful. And it was chore day. Sundays are our chore day because Saturday is our Sabbath day.
Right.
And so we do our chores on Sunday. And so I came home and I started, you know, doing my chores. I'm vacuuming and dusting and I'm dripping in sweat. And it was something about that day where I was like, I'm done.
I'm not doing this anymore.
And I think I declared it on my Instagram stories. I'm like, look, I am just doing this publicly for accountability. Yeah. I am not cleaning my house anymore. This ends today. I am looking for cleaning services. If you have references, put them in my DM. I live in the Atlanta area. I did all of that. I'm like, I am in the market for a cleaning service. And literally that week I hired a cleaning service and it has been the biggest gift. It doesn't even feel like an invoice. It feels like I'm giving this woman an offering to come in here and do. It's like, it's the biggest breathe out, not just for me, but for my entire family.
Yeah.
And that's like an example of, I just came to the end of myself. Not that I wasn't able to do it.
Yes.
It was not something I was, it was something I was no longer being asked to do. How about that? There were other things that God needed me for.
Right.
And sure enough, I, this is just amazing how this happens. Sure enough, what has happened now is I am moving into a ministry role at my church. I have commitments that have popped up on Sundays at my church that I would not have been available for.
Wow. Yeah.
If I, so what the normal thing would have been doing would have been done. Oh, we just got to shift chore day to a different day. So we got to fit chores in. We can't do it on Sunday anymore because I'm about to add more on. And still hold chores.
Sure.
Still hold cleaning the house.
Yeah.
And so instead, I came to the end of myself. I surrendered that piece, which opened up my life for work that I am being asked of God to do. And that's kind of how I see it. It's like learning when you're at the end of yourself. And maybe it can come in small ways. It can come in you realizing during your day that you have reached a point of exhaustion or you need something different than what's on your to-do list, right? And giving yourself permission to leave the to-do list there and go get whatever it is you need in another place. That's a place of coming to the end of yourself. So, you know, surrendering your to-do list or your plan or your schedule in order to replenish and refill and refresh. Or it can be something tremendous and huge, like your child, right? Like your marriage. It's just what we, that's the faith walk. That's the journey with God. We can only carry what we've been designed to carry.
Yes.
And we should only be carrying the things he's asking us to carry.
Yes. And that's everything where worry else, comes we gotta in, let go. Right?
Yeah.
That's where we're like, I think we whether we've seen that modeled or just as a natural habit for us, we use that as a way to think, well, that's how I'm going to manage it. When really it's like, that's not, you're not managing it. You're wasting time. You're not doing anything to manage it. So for us, an example is I give you so many examples. There's so many drama things happening in my life right now, girl. Oh my gosh. But let's just talk about this one. My 18-year-old son moved out of the house last week. So you talk about, lack of control as a mom. This is my oldest.
Oh my gosh.
So this is like, now he moved out amicably. Everything is great. We knew this was coming. He's in a great place. It's not, it's like 30 minutes from where we live. It's not like, you know, but it's still like this whole week has been really, really, really hard because I'm like, I mean, even weird things, you're like, I don't know where you are. Okay. If I really wanted to, I could pull up Find My Friends and I could look him up where his phone is and I could know where he is. But I'm like, that's not my role anymore.
Yes.
That's not what I'm doing anymore. And like, I'm checking in with him, but I'm like, okay. Like, yeah, so there's all of these unknowns of, I did check. I have to say, I have to admit this. I did check one night. It was like 10:30 at night. And I saw my son is really into cars and he goes to car meets with his car. And he was at a car meet at 10:30. Well, our normal curfew was 10. So I'm like, okay, 10:30, he's out. No, at a car meet. So you just, you're like, wow. Wow. And then the other thing.
Catching my breath for you. I'm sorry. That was like, okay,
right. It's just like, you can't even. And we're, it's just, there's this sadness. There's this grieving. There's this, what do I do with this? And it's out of my hands. The other thing is, as I've shared with you, Deanna, we're in the process of selling our house. And so, you know, there's all these, the stories of the house and the market and how things, fast things are going and all this stuff. So put our house in the market last Friday. And we're like, okay, here we go. Right. We had open houses all weekend. We had all this traffic through. We have not gotten a single offer yet.
Oh, look at that.
And we're like, and even the realtor's kind of like, I don't understand why. Like, you guys are priced right. Your house looks incredible. Like, we've done everything we're supposed to, like everything. And so that's the point where I just, again, had to say, God, we are doing everything we're supposed to. Everything is right. Like, our realtor's doing his job. The house looks great. We're priced right. Like, what? There's nothing else I can do. Nothing else. So I've had to just surrender it again, even though it doesn't make sense. Like, why is it our house? Like, what's up? Like, something's going, you know?
Yeah.
So all of these weird things that you're like, God has a plan. God has a plan. And I, in my past, would have just said, spent all of that energy. Well, why? Trying to figure it out. Or well, what else do I need to do? Or, well, what if? And like all these tracks that I personally have to ask myself when I see myself in those places and just be like, you cannot do that because that's just draining you. God is giving you an invitation to say, let me take this from you. Let me just take it. Let me just take it. Okay. Stop trying to spin your wheels and figure it out. That's not what you need to do. This is practice. And so anyway, I feel like I'm getting in lots of other areas too. I know what you're saying. It's like, I think we all have to kind of come up with those questions. So what would those questions be for you to know when you've stepped over and you need to just release and let God take it?
I think you've identified like one of my main flags is when I've crossed over to worry and anxiousness. I'm on the opposite side of that story. We've been trying to purchase a house and we've put an offer on 6 or 7 houses and we've not gotten any off. We've not gotten any of our contracts accepted. And we had to make a decision on whether or not we were going to extend the lease on this rental. And
oh my gosh,
we have to make decisions about school for the kids, because if we move,
that's our deal. We're moving to another state. I mean,
okay.
School stuff.
So you understand what I'm saying. And so we had to, and the market has been brutal for buyers. It's just really been brutal. And so, especially buyers that are not buying in cash. And I found myself in this state of anxiety about the unknown.
Yes.
And I finally came to this realization that, well, first of all, if I am someone that claims to walk in faith and trust God with my life, and the door is not opening for whatever reason for us to get into this house in the timing that we had in mind, then I just, you know, there's obviously some other things that need to be looked at or happen or whatever. It's just the door hasn't opened. We haven't been able to purchase. And instead of being anxious about it and complaining about it, I'm going to really do what I say I'm going to do. I want to trust God with my life.
Right. Yeah.
So if this is not happening, then what is, God? What do you need us to do? What is our next thing? And so me and my husband just got together and we just kind of threw out some scenarios. We were like, well, you know what? I think we just need to go ahead and sign a lease. We prefer to sign the lease than to do the month to month. The month to month was stressful because now we're paying more money every month. And that's money that we'd love to set aside for our new home. And, you know, it was like, we just made all the, what are we going to do with the kids? All right. Since we don't know what we're going to do with the kids with school or where we're going to be as far as where school is, we're going to go ahead and commit to homeschooling. Because we need to be able to move when we're eight, when it's time to move, we need to be able to pick up and move without interrupting their school. And so, you know, we just kind of took it decision by decision. Where is the peace?
Right.
What is clear? Where is clarity? What do we know?
Right.
And what is unknown? Right? Right. And we trust God with the unknowns, right? Yes. Well, we trust him with the knowns too, but like, these are the things that he has answered. These are the things that he has made clear, but the things that we don't know have to be surrendered. Right.
Right.
And so that's when I cross over into the anxiousness and the worry. Mm. That's like when I know I have stepped out of faith. Absolutely stepped out of faith. Doesn't mean that the thing that I'm concerned about isn't worthy of concern. It's just, I don't believe this is the worry and anxiousness is not where I'm supposed to be as a Christ follower. Mm. So if I got to trade this for something else, I got to trade the anxiousness and the worry for something else. And that's kind of, those are my, that's when I know I need to pause and to get on my knees or get, you know, get somewhere and to actually hear something. I don't have to know all of it.
No.
Just the next thing.
Right. And I think the thing that we need to know, and I remind myself over and over, is of God's love. His love for us is the lens that everything, every decision he makes on our behalf has to go through that lens, right? Mm. So he has to, he has that in effect, whether we're going through huge challenges, whether we're walking in a more peaceful season, it's in full effect. The love does not change and his decisions for us don't change. So if that's true, what I was talking about yesterday with this coach was like, all right, I know God loves me. I know this is whatever he's allowing all these circumstances to happen, waiting, trusting, all of this. It's not that he doesn't love me. I'm not doubting that. I'm not asking him to fix it because he's obviously allowing it for a reason. Mm-hmm. Yet the strength and the rest that I need is literally give me the grace to handle this well. Mm-hmm. Give me the grace to stop, to not spend it in worry. Give me the grace to not spend it in sadness or whatever. Give me the grace to express those things, but to not be dwelling
in them. Yeah.
And so that's the rest that I feel like, and the distinction that God is helping me determine in this season. And,
I love that. Yeah. I told God that I wasn't going to complain to anyone else but him. That was like a commitment I made when, all this was happening. It was like, okay, I do trust you with my life, but sometimes I'm just,
we need to. It's not
I just
that.
Need, you know,
you
and
need
I
to
said,
get rid of it. Yeah.
And I just felt like he was like, well, give it to me. Can you complain to me?
Yeah.
Can you journal that out to me? And I was like, yep, that's what I'm going to commit to do. I'm going to trust you. And when I'm feeling like I'm struggling, I'm going to bring it to you so you can help me through it. And that's literally how I've made it to today.
Amen.
It's like, I don't want to complain aloud to other people anymore. I'm tired of that. Mm-hmm. But I am going to bring, when I feel like I want to complain and fuss, I'm going to do it with you.
Right. That's amazing. That's so true. And that's biblical that we see that in the Psalms.
Mm-hmm.
And that's awesome that we can recognize that, because it's not that we want to ever shut it down and deny that it exists, because that just becomes toxicity.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. So going back to rest, I know that you agree that we have this maintenance kind of, we were talking kind of like the maintenance side of rest and noticing how we are, but there are definitely times when we just need to take a sabbatical. We need to just be like, I need to get away. I need to listen. I need to really hear next steps or just to be refilled. And you have an awesome event coming up. That's a great example and opportunity for women. So can you share a little bit more about that and why you're excited about that event?
Sure. So in my work with Refresh Moms, I work with moms who lead in different areas, entrepreneurship, ministry leaders, homeschoolers, stay-at-home moms that are, you know, home management. We're all leading in some capacity of, you know, just for the fact that we're raising kids, right? And so I talk a lot about the different ways to insert spiritual rest into your life in order to stay refilled and refreshed. And the short burst of time or the short opportunities of time, especially when your children are little, we, you know, those are things that we cling to. It's the 10 minutes before our baby wakes up, or it's the half an hour, you know, during their nap time, or it's the, you know, 30 minutes we ask our husband to give us, you know, when he gets home from work, whatever those things are. They're these little short bursts that we insert because we're in a season of very of unpredictable days, right? And so we kind of grab it when we can get it. And God is in the 10 minutes. He's in the 5 minutes. He's in those 15 minutes. So I don't, that's something I just, oh man, I just remember when 10 minutes in the shower was my prayer time.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I had literally had prayers laminated and scriptures laminated in my shower.
That's awesome.
And I just asked my husband, we only had one bathroom and we had potty training kids. And I was like, can you please, for the love, 10 minutes.
That little chair can go outside for 10 minutes.
Can,
right?
Everybody can hold it for 10 minutes, right? and, you know, when he was home and able to do that, you know, that's what in 10 minutes was like my prayer time. It was like my altar in that shower. And that's just what that season looked like. And, being able to plan for, not, I shouldn't even say plan, insert, because many times we can't plan those, insert tools to connect with God quickly is really important. As we step into these roles of leadership, though, I feel like it's really important to put containers of deep dives on our calendar. It's important to forecast for them, because if we don't make a plan for them, we have a hard time actually making room for them. So putting them on the calendar ahead of time and fiercely protecting it once it hits that calendar is something that I think mom leaders need. We need time to step away from work and kids in order to renew ourselves spiritually and to rest. I don't think we can sustain leadership, whatever our leadership roles are, without, at least I couldn't. Let me just speak for myself. I couldn't. And I got a group full of women.
Either.
Right. And so entrepreneurship is hard. It's kind of brutal if you really think about it. It's really hard work to get that machine moving and doing what you want it to do. It's a lot of sacrifice, a lot of work. And it's tiring and exhausting when you're doing it alongside children playing Legos under your desk. All right. So giving your time, I believe the Bible clearly models a work, a rest, work, work, rest rhythm. I think it started in Genesis. It started with this, you know, 7 day, the, you know, the 6 days of work, the seventh day of rest, however you want to quantify those days. We can talk about 1,000 years to a day and a day. We can talk, that's not even a point. Just pay attention to the principle. 6 days. And then on the seventh, he rested, right? And it's a rhythm. It's a rhythm that we see Jesus following. You know, he practiced ministry and rest. That was, I believe it's clearly modeled, and I don't think we can work well without it. So because of that, and because I kind of noticed what times of year I needed a forecasted container to be able to have deeper dives in prayer, in a Bible study, in connecting with God, I created a spiritual rest mini sabbatical experience for other moms to be able to plan for 3 nights away from your home and your kids in order to connect with God intimately and deeply. Okay. And our first one is happening in October, October 15th through the 18th. And, you know, some of the, one of the main questions is, you know, do I have to leave my home to participate? And of course, I can't make you do anything you don't want to do. But I really encourage you to leave that, the atmosphere that contributes to your need to rest.
Yes.
In order to do so, give yourself permission to separate from your children and from your home responsibilities. And if you're an entrepreneur like me and Alicia, from your work, in order to renew yourself, rest, refresh, connect with God. And so it's just a 3-night, I call it a virtual destination experience, because destination is your choice. All right. Yeah. You can go around the corner to an Airbnb or a hotel. You can hop on a plane and meet some girlfriends, you know, and stay somewhere together, whatever a sabbatical experience needs to be for you. You decide on where you want that to be. All right. And then Refresh Moms is going to provide the spiritual rest sessions and activities in order for you to curate your own spiritual rest sabbatical virtually. Mm-hmm. And the two go hand in hand. Leave the house, go where you need to go, and then plug into spiritual rest sessions that are designed to refill your cup.
Mm-hmm. Yes, no. And you know, I'm so happy to be a part of that event. I'm honored to be one of the speakers who will be helping women find that rest in these different areas. And I think it's so needed to not just, like you said, live on the little 10 minute, 20 minute here and there's as they come up. God is so gracious to give us those, but that's like, you know, fast food when we really need a refilling, refreshing kind of a dinner. We can only live on snacks and Cheez-Its, you know, for a season. We need the deep refreshment and we need each other. We need to stay together and collectively to our families, to our work, to other things, but mainly to ourselves. We need to make that commitment to say, this is valuable. I am valuable. And if I want to honor this calling, truly, if I want to honor whatever that calling looks like in this season, if it's motherhood plus entrepreneurship, motherhood plus a career, whatever the calling is, the greatest investment I can make is to invest in me and keeping me strong. I think that was a big change for me several years ago when I decided, like, you know, God, I realized, yes, God, you're still calling me to do these things, but it was like, this is my responsibility, going back to responsibility. My responsibility is to take care of me so that I can show up to do the things. God can't make me sit home and get more sleep and take a mini sabbatical or any of that. That's on me. Like, he's the one who can bring the strength and do the miracles and all the things, but I have to take care of me. And so I love that you're doing this. And I am inviting all of you watching and listening to be a part of this. Like she said, this is not just for, quote, entrepreneurs, just for business people. You're like, I'm a mom. That's awesome. Do you think you don't work? Like, girl, you work, right? Obviously, you need a break. You need refreshment.
Yeah.
So we want to invite you to this event. And now you can find out more and sign up for the event at vibrantchristianliving.com/rest. And that is where you'll have all the information about this event. Like she's saying, it is a virtual event, but we are encouraging you to move from where you are at to somewhere else, whether that's by yourself or with other ladies at a hotel down the street, Airbnb, whatever, or you're like, girl, I'm going to go to Florida where, you know, for the first time, or I'm just going to go somewhere and I'm going to make this work because it's, this is what I want to do. And I love too, that it's not, the sessions are cerebral and that, you know, we are talking about these topics of rest and how to find rest and all these other things, but there's also really neat crafting kind of things that you're going to have there and other interactive experiences. So can you share more about what that aspect of the event is? Yeah.
So I talk a lot about the seven types of rest, which I learned about from Dr. Sandra Dalton Smith, who is the author of a book, Sacred Rest. I recommend that highly. Put it on your book list, grab it. She's amazing. So she has done a lot of research and work around the ways we as humans need rest. And there's seven ways that she's identified. And every time I try to name all seven, I leave one out, but there's creative rest and there's emotional rest, mental rest, there's social rest, there's sensory rest, physical rest. And I know those were six and there's a seventh one that I always leave. I don't know which one. I always forget. But there's, we rest in more ways than sleep because sleep is the way that we, when we think about rest, we think about taking a nap. That's where most people are identifying needing rest. And I challenge that because how many of you that are listening to this have had a 7-8 hour night's worth of sleep and you still wake up feeling anxious and exhausted and tired, or taking a nap and you still wake up feeling stressed, and it doesn't get rid of that. Okay. Right. Sleep is a passive form of physical rest that every physical human being
needs in order to survive. Mm-hmm. Right. It's not something that you even have to be that intentional about. Like if you deprive yourself of it, your body's eventually going to grab it. All right. Because it's like, do you want to live or not? Because if you want to live, we're about to sleep and your body will shut down on you in order to get sleep, even in depravity. But these other areas are extremely intentional.
Yes.
Are extremely up to you. And those other areas of rest contribute to having restful sleep. So I talk about all seven of those in my, I have a free mini course called Making a Rest Plan. You can grab it on my website or just go to deannamason.com/make-a-rest-plan. It'll introduce you to those seven ways of resting, as well as give you a quiz to take to identify where your deficits are today.
Yeah.
So that you can plug in rest for those deficits immediately. Okay. But because I understand we rest in different ways, the mini sabbatical is giving you different opportunities to replenish yourself in creative rest and active physical rest like yoga or, you know, we're having breakout sessions after each spiritual rest session where you can connect with other moms in small groups in order to talk about what you learned. So that's like an intentional insertion of social rest. I think I may have left that out. That may have been number seven. And then cookie decorating classes or creating a charcuterie board, hand lettering, you know, all of these things are engaging the different parts of us that crave to be refilled. And so you get to choose a restorative workshop every evening to take advantage of in with the intention of I'm about to plug in this specific type of rest into my sabbatical experience.
Right. So awesome. And so different. It's not a virtual conference or maybe you're just kind of picking up here and there. It's I'm going to choose to immerse myself in this and to learn to get away, to explore, to play, to be creative and whatever makes sense to me, to be social. And I'm like you said, the intentionality of it, it's hard to get that intentionality sometimes in the everyday, but to have a vehicle, a container where all of that is sitting and you know, all right, I'm blocking this off. This is going to be there waiting for me is such a gift. So ladies, I would strongly encourage you to join us for that. Like I said, you can go to vibrantchristianliving.com/rest to sign up and to join us. So Deanna, where can ladies, again, you shared a link to the free resource you have on rest, but where else can they find out about you and what you're doing online?
Yeah. So I have a podcast called Refresh Moms. So you can definitely dive into more information on living a refreshed lifestyle, which for my community and my world includes consistently nurturing your faith, finding and identifying opportunities for forecasted rest, and for my entrepreneurs, creating consistent revenue. Because that I include your revenue, creating revenue or generating revenue consistently and dependably as a rest need. Because if I want you to be able to step away from your business without feeling like you're sacrificing your income when you do. So there's a certain way that you can set your work up to generate stable income. So I hit all of those, but I'm really heavy on the spiritual rest and nurturing your faith topics. Those are really important to me. I have an Instagram account. You can find me at Refresh Moms. And I also have a Facebook community. Now, this Facebook community is very laid back. All right. There's not a whole lot of noise going on, but it's just a community of women that want to prioritize their rest needs and nurturing their faith. So if that is you, there's opportunities to do that. I'm really good at helping you identify a rest need in the moment. That's really important for you to understand that rest comes in really simple things. Like I may ask a question on, you know, if you had a Saturday all to yourself, what would it look like? And women just start dreaming about what that Saturday looks like, which the idea of when I put the question up there is for you to be more self-aware about what you need. So if you become self-aware of the things that refresh and refill you, then put some intention behind actually getting what you need. And we do also have a monthly book club. It's the only book club you'll probably find where you don't have to read the book.
But you
don't have to read the book. Because I'm going to give you everything you need to talk about that subject matter when you show up for the discussion. I choose a book that I love. Yeah. And I make sure, you know, that I've read it. And then I pull out inserts that we can read together when we show up. And we have a small group discussion around that. And so that happens once a month. Right now we're going through the book Emotionally Healthy Woman by Jerry Scazzaro. Another one that I just go get it. Just put it on your summer reading list. It's absolutely life-changing, life-changing. Spoke directly to me starting Refresh Moms. Refresh Moms wouldn't be here if I hadn't read that book. It's that amazing. So we're going through that as a group together. So that's something that I do host in that free space. And, you know, just, you know, find me on Facebook. Spiritual Rest with Refresh Moms is the Facebook group. And I'd love to have you in that space as well.
Thank you. Yeah. Deanna is amazing. You guys, I've known her now for, gosh, like 3 years.
Yeah.
Several years that we've been in different containers together and grown together and cried together and prayed together. And like, God is good through all of it, but I know her well, and I know her heart, and I know what God is doing, and it's big in her ministry and in her life. So check out Deanna's work and join us for this amazing sabbatical experience that she's planning this October. And so Deanna, again, thank you for sharing about rest. I'm sure we'll have more conversations to come on this topic.
So. You gotta come on to my podcast. And let's have some more conversations.
I'd love that.
We gotta make that happen. Thank you all for listening. Alicia, thank you for having me. Alicia.
You're welcome.
I cross over. Thank you.
Oh my gosh. No problem. Oh my gosh. Something that I feel I wanted to make sure was a big takeaway from this conversation was that it's not that rest isn't just something that we can catch in these little increments throughout our day, but that we really do need to calendar in specific times of dedicated, going deep, distraction-free rest. And to really include not just a physical rest, but to have times where we're refreshing our mind, we're refreshing our soul, we're refreshing our connections with others through spiritual or through social conversations and rest in that way, replenishment. And, you know, maybe for you, that might mean more conversations, but it also might mean maybe more conversations with yourself, more solitude, more quiet time. I also love that she's including creative rest as a big part of how we find rest. And I know that just being creative for me has been a huge way to find that replenishment, the deep replenishment. And so I hope that you will be able to take part of this event that she and I were sharing about, which is called the Refreshed Moms Mini Sabbatical. It's going to be in October from the 15th through the 18th. Again, this is a virtual event that will be live. So you will be interacting live with other people who are going to the event, but it's not going to be in a specific spot. And this is to help keep the cost down. So you don't have to travel. We don't all have to travel to a specific spot, but she is strongly encouraging us, of course, to be outside of our four walls. So whether that's just to go around the corner to get a hotel room, to go just even to a friend's house together, maybe you and a friend, you rent a house and you go just somewhere for the weekend. It's just an opportunity to separate yourself from what's going on every day. And it's a curated experience. I think it's hard to do this on your own, especially when you want to have time to reflect and to think about things, but you also need things to think about and to be stimulated on in all these other areas. For me, as one of the speakers, I'm going to be speaking on what are some of the obstacles to rest? What are the things that we do to sabotage ourselves from getting rest? And what are some of the mindset issues? Why we get stuck in that? And trust me, I am the queen of getting stuck and telling myself I don't need to rest, getting stuck with that pedal stuck down to the floor, so to speak, of the gas pedal, and overworking, overfunctioning, as Deanna used the word in our conversation today. And so I want to invite you to join us at this event. It is going to be again in October, but we're taking registrations even now. And you can even get just this week from July 5th through July 13th, a special break on the price. So you can take $100 off this event. This is a special code just this week, just for my listeners. And it is, if you go to the site, vibrantchristianliving.com/rest, when you get to the checkout page, enter in the code VCL for Vibrant Christian Living. So VCL100. So VCL100 is what you will enter in. And that will take $100 off. And again, this is only good from July 5th through the July 13th, 2021. So I hope you take advantage of that. And I hope that you can join us at this event. It is the number one virtual experience, is how she describes it on the site, designed to help mom leaders enjoy rest away from work and kids in order to reconnect with God and to renew themselves spiritually. And now remember, if you're not a mom who works outside the home, maybe you're like, oh, but I'm not a mom leader. Heck yes, you are a mom leader. You are leading a family. You are leading your kids and your all the interactions that you have with all of their friends and their moms and all the other activities you do. You are a leader. You are a leader every single day, whether you're working in the home or out of the home, whether you have a quote business or whether you are an employee for someone else or you work in ministry, whatever it is, you are a leader and you need replenishment and you need to be refreshed. So I hope that you will join us. All right, friend, that's it for today. I look forward to talking to you next week. I'll be in this conversation with you tomorrow. And I hope you have a great rest of your week. We'll see you back here then. Bye-bye.